If you would, look in your Bibles at 2 Peter chapter 1. That's where we're going to start this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1. Today's Sunday, September the 21st, 2025. And we're going to start in 2 Peter chapter 1. At times, life is difficult. It's not always sunshine and roses, right? Many times we face challenges, we face mental pressures, but we know in the bigger picture, according to God, no matter what we're going through, God calls it momentary light affliction. If you're familiar with 2 Corinthians 4, it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Momentary affliction. And at times, it doesn't feel light and fluffy. And at times, it certainly doesn't seem momentary, right? But in challenging times, God does not want us stressed out, living with fears, doubts, anxieties, and worries. God wants us to have His peace. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, chapter 1, verse 2, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Did you know that all the church epistles, every one of them, begin in the greeting with grace and peace to you? All of the epistles, including 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and the epistles of 1 and 2 Peter, they all begin with grace and peace to you. We know what grace is, right? Grace is undeserved favor. It is favor from God that we cannot earn and do not deserve. We know what grace is. And peace is tranquility. It is freedom from disturbance. The opposite of peace is turmoil, discord, contention, unrest, upheaval, and stress. And of course, all of that can come from stuff in the world or from personal issues that we deal with. Stress lowers your immune system. That's not a good thing, is it? Stress lowers your immune system, and so no wonder God wants us to have peace. And here it says that God promised to multiply grace and peace to us. Multiply it. Oh my goodness. What a promise. Who wouldn't want that? Would you like to have more of God's undeserved, unearned favor? No, I've got plenty. Would you like to have more peace? No, I'm fine. Who wouldn't want grace and peace multiplied to them? And how then does a knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord get us grace and peace multiplied? Because the verse says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through a knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Well, just for a moment, consider the grace and peace that we receive as a result of a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Someone finds out that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead and they believe. What do they receive? Eternal life. Is that not grace? To live forever? Could you earn that? Could you buy it? You deserve it? God, I've been so good, I think I need to live forever. It's grace, 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 right? Because of Jesus Christ, all of our sins, all of them are forgiven. We're no longer separated from God. Nothing can separate us from God. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace with God. Peace from sin consciousness, condemnation, unworthiness, all because of our Lord Jesus Christ. From what we learn in God's Word about God and about our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can, and this is the important part, we can choose to believe it and have grace and peace multiplied to us. And so this morning, I'd like to just focus on God's peace to us through a knowledge of God. And of course, it's the knowledge of God's Word that gives us a knowledge of who God is and what He will do for us. So let's turn to Psalm 46, if you would. Basically, this morning we're looking at how to receive God's peace in our lives. Psalm 46. Everybody there? Verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I think we heard something like that in manifestations this morning, didn't we? What kind of trouble? Any trouble. Big trouble, little trouble, any trouble. God, our refuge and strength. Doesn't that kind of remind you of what it says in Romans? If God be for us, who can be against us? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed. That's pretty dramatic. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. According to Bullinger, the symbolic upheaval mentioned here emphasizes the absolute refuge and help from our God during any forms of trouble, whether personal, national, or even cosmic. Verse 1 again, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. So again, it's one thing to know this, right? It's one thing to know, you know, read in the Bible. What does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says God's our refuge and our strength, the very present help in trouble. It's one thing to know that, but it does us absolutely no good if we don't believe it. You know, you can memorize the whole Bible. Keep your finger here and look at a verse you're probably familiar with in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, Hebrews 4, 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith, not being mixed with believing in them that heard it. There's no profit. If we don't believe what God's Word says, we can know it, we can quote it, we can memorize it, but there's no profit to our lives unless we believe it. So back again to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, if you kept a marker or something there. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, when we read something like that verse here in the Bible, very powerful, and we believe it, what it does is it shuts down anxieties, fears, and stress, which are all opposite of peace. Our God is not only our refuge and our strength, but it says a very present help. And I think we heard that in manifestations this morning. And it's all through the Bible. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. God is with us. We're not alone. And as we looked at a couple of weeks ago, God has solutions we've never even thought of. Is the Lord's arm waxed short? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Right? We saw that a couple of weeks ago. And again, just knowing it doesn't do anything. The question is, do I believe that? Is God a very present help for me in my trouble? Is he my refuge? Is he my strength? Yes, that's what he said. That's what I'm going to believe and not believe anything else. Therefore, will not we fear, verse 2, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God's in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he hath made in the earth. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, cuts the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. In verse 10, it says, be still. And in Hebrew, it's one word, and it's translated a number of different ways. Forsake, idle, leave, let alone. One of the best translations that I've read is, leave off your own attempts and know that I am God. Isn't that neat? That's really neat. Know that he is God. Know what he can do. Know what he's promised to do. Know and believe that. God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. Sometimes we just gotta stop trying to figure it out and give it to God. Remember that wonderful prayer of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles? It's in 2 Chronicles 20. And part of his prayer, you know, they were totally outnumbered. The army's right there ready to wipe them out. And he prayed, and part of his prayer was, we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do. And then he said, but our eyes are upon thee. Sometimes we're in that situation, right? I don't have what I need to take care of the situation. I don't know what to do. Well, we don't want to stress out. Our eyes are upon him. Why? Because he's our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble. Leave off your own attempts and know that I am God. Psalm 34 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. We go to God. That's our part, going to God. Not sitting around stressed and discouraged. And we go to God. That's our part. And then he's the one that does the delivering. And as you know, sometimes that takes a little patience, right? So what do? We wait. We wait on the Lord. Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And in Proverbs 20:22, say not thou, I'll recompense evil. No. But wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. God doesn't want us to live with worries, fears, anxieties, and all that. He doesn't want us to live a life where we're frustrated. He wants us to have his peace, grace and peace multiplied to you. He wants us to have his peace no matter what we're going through, and he's promised us his peace. And this morning we're going to God's word to see how to receive his peace. Psalm 39, or 29. Go to Psalm 29. Not that we ever have any trouble or never frustrated or Psalm 29, verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Peace. I'd like to look at a record in Luke chapter 10. If you would, Luke chapter 10. The Lord will bless us with peace. He's promised to give us peace. All we need to do is learn how to receive his peace. And if we're stressed, discouraged, bummed out, full of anxieties, we're not going to get his peace. So here's a cool record in Luke. You're probably familiar with this, but I thought it would be good to read this to kind of see a real example. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he, Jesus Christ, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. We know of Martha in other records. Her sister's name was Mary. Their brother's name was Lazarus. Well, the Bible says that Jesus really loved Lazarus. He was close to Lazarus. So these are people he knew and loved. Verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So get the picture. Jesus is in this house, and what's he doing? He's sharing the word with these people, his close friends. And what's Mary doing? She's just sitting right there listening. And the next verse starts with the word but. Mary is there at Jesus' feet hearing the word, but Martha was cumbered about. The word cumbered about means distracted. Martha was distracted about much serving. I got to get this together. What are we going to eat? Who has this? I need to get this going. Don't burn that. She just was, I got to get all this stuff together. So much so, she came to him, to Jesus, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Tell her, get up off her butt and get over and help me. I got all this going on here. That's pretty bold, telling Jesus what to do. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, 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 you are careful and troubled about many things. She was not only cumbered, distracted, but Jesus said she was careful or anxious, that's a better translation, anxious, and she was troubled, which means not mentally quiet, about many things. Martha was going through a little bit of stress, wasn't she? Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. One thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Martha was going through a lot of stress. She was cumbered. She was mentally distracted. She was anxious. She was troubled about many things, but what she really needed was what Mary had chosen. And you know what? It's what we all need to choose. Somebody once said, get your head in the book. God wants us to live with peace, and he's promised to multiply grace and peace to us through a knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How loving Jesus Christ was. It's kind of like, look, you are just fried. You're so stressed out. But your sister has chosen, and one thing's needful, and that's what your sister has chosen. It's kind of neat that the way he put that. He didn't just say, would you just shut up and sit down and listen to what I'm teaching here. Don't worry about the food. Forget about the food. We'll take care of the food. Who cares? This is what's important right now. Let's go to Philippians 4. You probably figured I'd go there anyway. So Philippians chapter 4. Learning to receive God's peace. Philippians chapter 4. Very familiar to us. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. There's that word careful again. Be careful. Be anxious for nothing. Well, there's a goal. Be anxious for nothing. There's a nothing and an everything in this verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. In those times of stress and anxiety and worries and fears, God's word tells us what to do in those situations. Pray. Pray, 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 pray. And as we make our request, we're to do it with what? Thanksgiving. Well, what do we have to be thankful for? So many things. How about the many things that God's already done for each of us personally in our lives? We can all think of things that God has specifically and personally done for us, right? And what about all the great benefits that we have as a born-again believer? You know, do we spend a little time just saying, thank you? Thank you that I have eternal life. Thank you that all my sins are forgiven. Thank you that I'm righteous before you. Thank you that nothing can ever separate me from your love. Thank you that I'm going to be in the gathering together. I'm going to get a new body. Thank you for the stuff you did last year when this was going. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. How about thanking God for letting us know that He's our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble? And again, do we accept and believe that? And so what's the result of praying to God with thanksgiving? Verse 7 says, look at this, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Keep means guard. Guard our hearts and minds. Where do we have fears? Where do we have anxieties and worries? Where are we cumbered and troubled about many things? Where? In our hearts and minds. And it's the peace of God that guards our hearts and minds. Be still. Let it go. Put your trust in God. God who has solutions you've never even thought about. Wait patiently on the Lord. Pray, pray, and wait patiently on the Lord. We were in Hebrews earlier. Go to Hebrews 4 again. Hebrews chapter 4. A couple more places. Hebrews chapter 4. At the end of this chapter in verse 15. For we have not a high priest. We're in Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore freak out. Be full of anxiety, full of fear, worried, troubled, cumbered. No. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help in time of need. What a beautiful verse. We go to the throne room. What does that mean? Pray. We go to God. We go to God with thanksgiving and we go, look, I got an issue. I just need to bring this to you, God, and I need help. And I know I brought the same issue to you an hour ago, but I'm still fried about it. And I know I talked to you about it 8 times yesterday, but I'm just trying to get rid of the stress here. I'm just giving it to you. Go to Isaiah 26. Dave quoted this verse when we sang that song, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Isaiah 26. I'm sure that's not the first time you've ever heard this verse in Isaiah 26. And I was telling Missy yesterday that I was planning to read this verse this morning, Isaiah 26:3. And then I just decided, I just looked, I went, wow, look at the next verse. So let's read Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Thou, verse 3, Isaiah 26, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. He's our refuge. He's our strength. Trust in the Lord. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That's not automatic, is it? Nope, not at all. So we can choose to focus on negatives, whatever they may be, and we're the only ones that control what we think. We can't control anybody else's thoughts, and nobody can control our thoughts. We're the only ones. We decide what we're thinking. What's that thing we used to say years ago? Change your stinking thinking, because it's stinking. You need a checkup from the neck up. Never heard that one. It's like, what are you thinking? I'm bummed, I'm depressed, I'm discouraged. Okay, so what exactly are you thinking? That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So we can choose to dwell on the negatives, or don't nurse it, don't rehearse it, give it to God and ask him to reverse it. I heard that, I think, a month ago. Isn't that cool? Don't nurse it. Don't rehearse it. Give it to God and ask him to reverse it. We can put our trust in God to give us his peace. Remember what it says in Timothy, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. God wants us to have peace. In the midst of chaos, even, that we can be peaceful. Colossians 3. Two more. Colossians chapter 3. You know what? When everything's going great, it's really easy to say all the right things when everything's going great. Hey, God bless. How's that? Oh, life is great. Isn't God wonderful? Oh, yes, I'm having a wonderful time. God, everything's great. Easy to be all positive when things are going well. But when we hear of scary things going on in the world or disgusting things in the world, or when personal issues come up that we need to deal with, it's a choice to pray and keep our eyes on him, putting all our trust in him, reminding ourselves of what he said in his word, and then choosing to believe that. Colossians chapter 3, 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and look at that, be thankful. What a great key, thankfulness. Be thankful. Let the peace of God rule where? In your hearts. That's in our minds. And then the next verse says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word dwell in you richly. That's not automatic either. It takes effort. Let the peace of God rule. We can't let the word dwell richly in our hearts and minds if we're fried, if we're frustrated, if we're anxious, if we're depressed, if we're just, we can't. Remember what Jesus Christ said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's the opposite of this. That's where we're going to close in John 14. We'll read what Jesus Christ said. But John 14, if you'll go there. So, it's not rocket science. We pray. Well, there's something I never heard before. Okay. We pray. Pray, 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 pray. We go to God in prayer, thanking him for what he's done for us, thanking him for what he's promised us, and then we give him our request and put our trust in him and wait. And we keep our eyes on him, that prayer of Jehoshaphat's. We have no might against this great company, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. How do we keep our eyes on God? We look up at the sky. Do you ever see him? The way we keep our eyes on God is we keep our eyes in the book. We keep our eyes, our thoughts on his words. What did he say? I'm not going to budge from this. He said he would be my refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. He said he would take care of me. He said that he would do this. And I'm not budging. I'm just going to pray, be thankful, and wait for his wonderful solutions. So don't nurse it. Don't rehearse it. Give it to God and ask him to reverse it. How's that? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. We're closing in John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The opposite of being troubled and afraid is peace. When you find yourself troubled, discouraged, stressed, afraid, that's not peace. You got to just go to God in prayer. Say, God, I need your help. This thing is really bugging me. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. That takes effort. It's not automatic. Let the word dwell in you richly. That's not automatic either. That takes effort. And pray. And that's not automatic either. That takes effort. So no matter what's going on, God wants us to have his peace. And God not only promised to multiply grace and peace unto us, but he shows us in his word how to get his peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Father, thank you that we can, in the midst of a crazy world, in the midst of difficult personal things that we may go through, you are our refuge and strength. You have solutions for us. You will keep us in perfect peace. You're a very present help in any trouble. May we just believe your words. And in those times, Father, may we continue to go to you in prayer and then wait patiently for your solutions, because you love us and nothing can separate us from your love. Thank you for the privilege of sharing your word here this morning. Ask you to bless all the folks here, those on the hookup, those that may hear this later. And God, may we receive your peace and not be like Martha, but we could be like Mary. Love your word and stay peaceful. So thank you for your love for us and for all we have. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ, amen.